Do you get excited when you're coming on holiday? Do you start thinking about it and think, oh, it'll be meeting so-and-so, and I wonder if that family will be there, and if those other children will be there, and so on. I think I must have been getting excited about coming, because I started dreaming about you all. And I dreamt I was in heaven, and some of you were there. And I looked around, and I found that you'd all got different partners. There was David Holland there with an exceedingly ugly lady. And I said to St. Peter, why is that? And he said, well, you see, when David was a small boy, he was very horrible. He used to get worms and cut them up with a pair of scissors, and that's his punishment. And I looked around, and there was Tom Smith. And he had an exceedingly ugly lady with him. And I said to St. Peter, that can't be right. He said, it is. When Tom was a small boy, he used to get moths and butterflies and pull their wings off. And that's his punishment. And I looked around some more, and there was the chairman of Headway, Gilbert Hall, with an absolutely smashing blonde. And I said to St. Peter, how's that? And he said, well, you see, when that blonde was a small girl, we're talking tonight about heaven. Except that the subject that David gave me labelled it as new birth. If you're looking for a three-part sermon, I want to tell you you're on overtime. Because we shall be looking at four parts of new birth. What is it? Who is it for? How do you get it? And what's the result? So there you are. If you're short of time, you can go home now. What is this new birth? What is new birth? Really, the experts say it should be translated not have you been born again, but have you been born from above? Born onto a different level. Born into a different sort of life. The hymn writer had got it right, hadn't he? Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well. Yet how or why, I cannot tell. He should have lifted me. Born then into eternal life. What is it? Born into a new life. Born into a higher sort of level. Well, let's be quite plain. If it's just born into that, then it's only a very tender shoot, ready to develop, perhaps, into a mustard bush, if I might follow Jesus, or perhaps into an oak tree, or a little baby, new birth, waiting protection, feeding, development, until it becomes a full life. New birth is not full life. It's only a start. Let's be quite plain also, right at the beginning, that new birth is not protection from sin. It is not protection from sin. But it is rescue from the effects of sin. I'll say it again, it's rescue from the effects of sin. Why do we need rescuing? Do you need rescuing? If you can't say yes, then you haven't come up against the real facts of life yet. The reason we need rescuing is because we are human beings. I trust that applies to... I've been to Monkey World today. But the reason we need rescuing is because we are human beings. And with as human beings, we have an inbuilt tendency to take the wrong decision. And you must have noticed it in your life. We are intended for fellowship with God. And when we take the wrong decisions, we separate ourselves from God. And that, as far as our intended purpose is concerned, is death. Yesterday morning, Gilbert reminded us, and I trust he's still speaking to me, Gilbert reminded us that Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. You see the connection? He was the first, leading on. And if we are to be born from above, we've got to follow that lead. As a human being, I am selfish. Full stop. There's no way around it. Right from when I was a baby, the only thing that mattered to me was where my next feed was coming from. And right through life, my inbuilt tendency is to say, what's in it for me? Or how will it affect me? Am I talking about you? I am, and I trust you've noticed it about yourself. As a human being, I have a tendency always to take the wrong decision because it's a decision that's turned inwards. I am designed to be a loving person. I am designed for loving. My problem is I'm selfish. So new birth, I suppose, could in one way be defined as accepting God's offer to do something about it and then recognizing his continual presence. The two have to go together. It's no good saying, yes, I recognize that God has done something about it and he will apply that something to me, unless I go on to recognize all the time that I am in his presence, because what he has rescued me from is separation from himself. And if I've really been rescued, then all the time I must be recognizing that I am living in his presence. New birth. We haven't really defined it fully, have we? But we've had a look at what it is. Who's it for? Well, now, no problem there, is it? We've already more or less cleared it. But let's go back to John chapter 3. We read verses 1 to 8, and then in verses 9 to 15, Jesus goes on to explain to Nicodemus. Nicodemus had asked, how can this be, this new birth, this being born onto a higher level, how can this be? Jesus went on to explain to him in verses 9 to 15 what it was and what the cost would be. The cost was going to be the cross. And he made it quite plain. And then that leads on to what's perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whosoever, that's who it's for. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, it's intended for all. It's intended for all. So how do you get it? And we're on to section three already. My word, we're doing all right. How do you get it? When there's going to be a test series, say, in Australia, players indicate whether they're available or not. Sometimes they indicate that they're not available because they know they wouldn't jolly well be chosen anyway. Other times, they say because of family commitments or whatever it is, they are not available. To be born from above, we just make ourselves available. We make ourselves available. Available, if you like, for God's team. And the marvellous thing is that he doesn't limit his team to 5-a-side or 11 or 15 or even 144,000, as the Jehovah's Witnesses would like us to believe. No, he doesn't put a limit on his team. He was the one who made sure that we had John 3:16 in our Bible. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on him, God chooses all who offer. You don't elect yourself onto his team, but you make yourself available. And he says, come, come. I've been waiting for you to say that. And everyone who's on the team is chosen. He's chosen. I like the little story of the lad who'd been adopted, and he was always getting ribbed about it, until one day he turned round and said, well, I was chosen. Your parents couldn't do anything about you. And I was chosen. And if you have made yourself available, you have already been chosen. If you haven't made yourself available, and we're talking about making yourself available to do what you were designed to do, if you haven't made yourself available, then it's time you gave it much more serious thought than you have done already. Do you remember Peter's first sermon? Acts chapter 2. If we'd had a local preacher's department at Westminster then, he wouldn't have been allowed to preach. He hadn't had his note. Remember what he said, Acts 2:38. Repent, believe, be baptized, and then you will receive the Holy Spirit. Repent, believe, be baptized, and then you will receive the Holy Spirit. Repent because you recognize that you have this tendency to take the wrong decision. Repent because you are a human being like everybody else, and you're selfish. Believe. Jesus, in those verses 9 to 15, explained it to Nicodemus, and he explains it to us, and he says it's the cross that's the cost, but the cost has already been paid for you, so it's available if you will make yourself available. Be baptized, and then you will receive the Holy Spirit. I'm tempted there to develop the idea we could end up with some differences of opinion between us, couldn't we, about whether you need to have an extra baptism for the Holy Spirit or not. But fortunately, that's on the program for tomorrow night, so I can sidestep that one now. But it does say, be baptized and then you will receive the Holy Spirit. What is it? Who's it for? How do you get it? And what are the results? Well, what happened in Acts chapter 2 when this sort of thing that I'm preaching to you now was first preached? I quoted to you verse 38. Go on to verse 42. The result? They devoted themselves to the teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. The teaching? If you are born from above, or if, like the old preachers, I were to say to you, have you been born again? If you have, are you devoting yourself to the teaching, to learning more about it? Because remember, we said that new birth is not full life. It's only a tender shoot. What are you doing about developing? What are you doing about being fed? What are you doing about being protected? The teaching, the fellowship. Have you been staying away from church? Do you find it a joy to go, even though the worship is often dull? You need the fellowship still. Praise the Lord that we can come and get this, for many of us, a higher level of fellowship on a camp like this. But there are the other 52 and even, no, the other 51 and sometimes 52 Sundays in a year. And you need the fellowship then, even if it's not exactly the same sort of fellowship that we can enjoy here. Breaking of bread and the prayers. It doesn't say praying, it says and the prayers. In other words, the formally organized prayers of the church. Yes, private praying is important, whether it be in the home or even when you get to church. But it's also important that you are part of a praying fellowship. And if there isn't a prayer fellowship organized at your church, then presumably you'll be back home next week, and that's the time to do something about it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, which Joyce also read for us, Peter goes on preaching for similar effects. And if you want a text, it's there. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and part of verse 3, because we don't have time to take it all. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Have you got that new birth? I like the story. Reader's Digest, 2 years ago, something like that. There were four vicars who'd been having a meal together. And they said, we can't really share with our congregations now that we're here together. Perhaps we ought to share our problems while we have the opportunity. And one said, yes, well, I do have a problem. He said, I like a little drop of whiskey, and I discovered I got through half a bottle last month. They said, my word, brother, you have a problem. We'll pray for you. And the second one said, do you know, now that you mention it, I've got a problem. I find myself taking the odd pound out of the collection. I don't need it, but I still find myself taking it. They said, brother, you've got a problem. We'll pray for you. The third one said, well, yes, I don't like admitting it, but I find myself rearranging meetings so that I can be with a middle-aged widow in my congregation. I know it's wrong, but I find that I start reorganizing the ministry, meetings. And they said, my word, brother, you have got a problem. We'll pray for you. And three pairs of eyes turned to the fourth man, and he turned away. And they said, haven't you anything you want to share with us? And he said, no, I don't think so, thank you. And they said, well, surely you ought to take the opportunity while it's here. And he said, no, I don't really think, I have got a problem, but I don't really want to share it. And they said, go on, you take the opportunity while you're here. And he said, all right, then I will. He said, my problem is I'm a compulsive gossip. Now there, if you like, you have four examples, negative examples of the new birth. And if you like to think about it, don't get involved in any of those. Negative examples of the new birth. Am I then saying that if you've got the new birth, you will not sin? If that's the case, then why do you say the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses. But I thought new birth was to deal with this problem of sin. When I was a boy, and when I became a granddad, I enjoyed, and I enjoy, walking along the edge of the pavement trying to balance on those paving slabs. I was doing it only the week before last with my granddaughter, and she's sitting there, and if you were to ask her, oh, she isn't, she's gone, she's one of the ones that's gone. If you were to ask her, she'd say I cheated and gave her a little push. You've done it, haven't you? Tried to balance along the edge and not put your foot over the edge. That's how I live my life. All the time trying to be in heaven, but all the time tending to put my foot in the gutter. I live in heaven now, but I still put my foot in the gutter. You remember the first Maundy Thursday? Jesus got a towel and some water that was there by the door, and he said, come on, lads, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter said, not me, not likely. And Jesus said, you need to be washed. Now, this is the chap who'd said, Matthew 16:18, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The first one to blurt it out, recognize him. He'd got the new birth. But Jesus said, no, you don't need washing all over. Peter said, no, not you wash me. And Jesus said, but you need it. And he said, all right, then wash me all over. What did Jesus say? No, you don't need that. You only need your feet washing. As you go through life, you pick up some of the dirt and the dust and the mess, and you need that washing off. But you don't need washing all over. You've already got the new birth. That's what you've got. But you still need to say, forgive my trespasses. If I've got new birth, it doesn't mean that I shall not sin, but it does mean that I am protected from the effects of those sins, the results of those sins. We're really back then, aren't we, too? Where we started. What is new birth? What is this being born from a higher level? Let me stress again. It is not a fully grown state. It is only a start. Have you started? Are you going on? First Corinthians 13, what is it, somewhere towards the end of that famous passage, what about verses 11 and 12, For now I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. I'm only part way there. I don't see him fully. I'm not completely cured of my tendency to take the wrong decision yet. Or again, you remember when Jesus started to cure the blind man, and he said, "Can you see?" He said, I see men as trees walking. That's where I am now. That's where I am. Or seeing through a glass darkly. I've had the new birth. I've been going on for a long time, but I still need nourishing. And so do you. Have you been born again? Are you ensuring you're getting the teaching, the correction, the prayer life? Final quotation. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." That's what's on offer. I'd like us now to sit and quietly sing number 292. 292. Because then that gives us an opportunity. And those of you who were at the prayer meeting.